John chapter 16. And while you're turning there, when I was a boy, and I say a boy, I was very, very young, and I was carrying two rows of tobacco, and I kind of looked after the workers in the field. And I remember so many times, more than once, we would be out there cropping, and it would be so hot, and you'd get so thirsty that you would die for a drop of water, for a cup of water. And I remember I'd go up to that little truck driver who was going to the barn, every other load. And I'd say, now you go ahead and take this load to the barn and you bring back the water. And he, yes, sir. And off he'd go. And we'd crop that next load and you'd keep looking and listening for that tractor coming back because you knew there was water coming, you know. And finally, when you didn't feel like you could go any further, here he would come. And you'd run to that truck, because that's where they'd put the water keg. And you'd run to that empty truck, and there'd be no water. And you'd look up at that truck driver, and he'd say, I forgot. And you want to grab him and choke him. I mean, y'all got to remember, I wasn't saved then, okay? The flesh was very much alive in me. But he would take care of the first part. He would hear the first part about taking the load, but he would forget the second part. Bring back the water. Bring back the water. The title of my messages this morning is The Second Part. Don't forget the second part. Look with me in the book of John, chapter 16, the words of Jesus. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, Jesus is speaking. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. But I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I am come out from God. I come forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Yea, is now come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, how great you are, how great is thy Son Jesus, whom we honor and we love. Father, for his unspeakable sacrifice and thy unspeakable gift. God, we ask you today, as Lord, we look at one particular verse in this passage, that God, you might speak to our hearts. I ask you, Father, to look upon me God who is nothing, who is nobody, who can do nothing of himself. And I ask you, Father, to fill me with thy Holy Spirit. God, give me the words that, Lord, I need to speak, that you would have me to speak. And I pray, Father, that thy work would be done in every heart that's here. May thy Spirit take the words and do thy work in our hearts and our lives. I pray, Father, there's one here today who's lost. That Lord, today they'll say yes to Jesus. I pray, Father, that we, Lord, who are saved, that we might leave this house encouraged, knowing that, Father, we leave with victory in our heart, in our lives, because, Lord, of Jesus, have your way. Glorify thy Son. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we do pray. Amen. Beloved, Jesus was about to leave. He was about to be arrested and crucified on that old rugged cross. Now, he had already told them back in chapter 14 when this discourse began that he was leaving. So as the Lord spake in chapter 14, 15, and 16, beloved, he tried to prepare them for what was ahead. For what was coming, for how it would be when he was gone from them. And he told them many, many wonderful things. But at the same time, he told them many fearful things. But then he closed his remarks with these words in verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Now listen, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He said, I've told you these things that you might have peace. Now listen to this, in the world ye shall have tribulation, oh, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Did you get that, folks? Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. No doubt about it. No ifs, ands, or buts, beloved. If you follow the Lord in faith in this world, you are going to have tribulation. Now, not the tribulation that's mentioned in Revelation, beloved, but tribulation. It's the Greek word ellipsis, and it means affliction. It means, beloved, anything that burdens the heart, that burdens the spirit. Jesus said, get ready, believers, because in the world ye shall have tribulation. And boy, we know that's true, don't we, Christians? Don't we? I mean, yes, we do. We've all experienced, beloved, that tribulation in this world. And we know that God always speaks the truth. But folks, just as that part, listen to me, just as that part of what Jesus said is true, so is the last part. So is the last part. But be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Jesus said, in a manner of speaking, he said, hey, you're going to be afflicted in this world. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have sorrows. But don't let it get you down. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've overcome all that the world will throw at you. I've overcome it. I've overcome. Man, we forget that part, don't we? We're like that truck driver. We forget that last part. Boy, we remember the tribulation promise, but we don't remember that part. Folks, I look at Christians, and I'm talking about folks in our own church. I look at Christians and I see, beloved, them defeated. I see, beloved, them depressed. I see them sorrowful. I see them fearful. I see them worried. I see them anxious because of what the world has thrown at them. And I want to shout. I want to shout. Read the last part of John 16:33. Read the last part. Jesus has overcome all that the world can do to us. Amen. Praise God. What's the matter? Is he not true? He was true about the first part. We can all attest to that. Folks, don't let Satan blind you. Don't let him blind you to the truth of this second part of this verse. I want you to know, I want you to understand that Jesus has overcome this world. Therefore, whatsoever the world afflicts you with, he has overcome it. He has overcome it. Think about it. What is the world? And how does the world afflict us? Folks, the world, listen, is the dominion of Satan. Of Satan. You remember when God created Adam and Eve, beloved, he gave them dominion over all the earth and everything that was in it. Oh, but when man disobeyed God and instead obeyed the devil, beloved, they forfeited, beloved, that dominion to Satan. To Satan. It was like God gave them the title deed to the earth. But beloved, when they surrendered to the will of the devil and disobeyed God, they handed that title deed to the earth to the devil. And he became, beloved, the God of this world. That's what 1 Corinthians 4:4 says. The Bible says, beloved, in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And if you look at the Greek, beloved, it reads something like this. The whole world lieth in the lap of the wicked one, of the devil, of the devil. Oh, the devil truly is the god of this world. Y'all remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil? Remember that last temptation, beloved? Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said, all of this is mine, but I'll give it to you if you bow down and worship me. And I want you to notice, beloved, what Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say, you can't give me those kingdoms because you don't have them. He didn't say that. In other words, Jesus didn't dispute the devil's claim, beloved, to the world and the kingdoms. Why didn't he? Because that part of what Satan said was true. Everything else was a lie, but that part was true. He does have dominion over this world. And folks, it's easy to see if you look around at this world that we're living in. Amen? It's easy to see. Now, because the devil, beloved, is the god of this world, what does that mean? Folks, where Satan is, there is lies. He is the father of lies. And he's the god of this world. Is it any wonder, beloved, that this world is filled with lies? Wherever Satan is, there is deception. And all the deception, beloved, that fills our world today. It's in the myth of evolution, beloved, in our sciences and in our schools. It's in the myth of socialism, which is threatening our nation's downfall. It's in the myth of homosexuality and gender identity. Lies that permeate our society today. Lies that permeate our politicians and our news media and our world, even many of our churches. Lies. Tell me. Don't you who know the truth, don't you get tired of the lies? Don't you get tired? Where Satan is, there is suffering. Suffering from disease, suffering from trials and troubles, suffering from wars and plagues, suffering, beloved, from want. Some of our own people are suffering now from one thing or the other. Where Satan is, there's hatred. Hatred. Doesn't hatred fill this land? I mean, you see it every day on the news. People hate because some hate others because they're different. People hate, beloved, because they don't think the way they think. People hate because, beloved, they can't control those others. Listen, there is no better example of that than the hatred for our president. Have you ever asked yourself why? Why? Why does the news media and the progressives and the never Trumpers hate this man so much? Why do they hate him so much? I mean, you know, it's one thing, beloved, to disagree with his policy. It's another thing to maybe you don't like his personality or you don't like the way he conducts himself. Beloved, but to hate him with such passion as many do, folks, that's satanic. That's satanic. Where Satan is, there is violence. There is violence. And boy, do we live in a world of violence. People getting, I've never seen the beat of people getting killed. Right and left and left and right. And I'm not talking just about adults, beloved. I'm talking about children. Children being murdered by their parents. Children being shot in the street. And then when the child dies, they still don't stop. They still don't stop. Businesses being burned to the ground. Folks losing their livelihood, beloved, losing their way to make a living, being taken away. And I can go on and on. I mean, where Satan is, there is injustice. Where Satan is, there is lawlessness. Where Satan is, there is greed. Where Satan is, there is malice. Where Satan is, there is pain and suffering. That's our world, folks. That's the world we live in. Oh, the tribulation, the affliction that we endure because of all of this. You worry and you fret over all that's going on. You get depressed. You become fearful. You become discouraged. But oh, listen, folks, listen. This world is Satan's dominion, but Jesus has overcome the world, beloved. He's overcome Satan. He's overcome him. You know, it was Satan who orchestrated the crucifixion of Christ. You do know that. The Bible says that Satan, the devil, put it into the heart of Judas to do what? To betray him. To betray him. Beloved, his aim was to destroy the Son of God. To make him suffer and die. Oh, but what he did not know was this. He didn't know that Jesus allowed him himself to be crucified. He could have called 72,000 angels to set him free. But he allowed, beloved, Satan's plan to go ahead. And when Jesus said, listen, when he said, it is finished, whoa, listen, beloved, it was Satan that was finished. Amen. It was Satan that was finished. That cross, beloved, that Satan engineered, broke Satan's power and grasp over this world. In Revelation chapter 5, John saw the one that sat on the throne, and in his hand was a book. And the Bible says the book was written inside and out. Now that's a clue. Because, beloved, Scripture text, the scripture parchments weren't written on both sides. But this is written on both sides. And beloved, they know that in the Old Testament, deeds were written within and without on both sides. So that's a deed that he holds in his hand. And beloved, it's sealed with seven seals. And a cry goes out, who is worthy to open this title deed and to redeem the earth? And the answer, the Lamb that was slain, he is worthy. And he comes and opens the seals and redeems this world from the devil. It's that same Lamb, folks. Jesus, who overcomes the suffering and the lies and the greed and the sickness and the trials and the violence that we suffer. Praise God, praise God. Listen, he has overcome the world, and that means so shall we. So shall we. What is the world? The world is Satan's dominion. But it's also, listen, the world system that thrives upon it. The world system. It's the geopolitical, social system that Satan uses to work, beloved, the work through, to bring his evil down to man. Folks, Satan didn't himself drive the nails into Jesus. He was only the mastermind. But beloved, what did he do? He used the Jewish leaders. How about that? He used the Gentile leaders of the world, the Romans. You know, in the Old Testament, there weren't but two groups. There were the Jews and the Gentiles. And folks, all the way through the Bible, these two groups are separate. The Jews were separate from the Gentiles. But listen to me. Beloved, when it came to crucifying the Son of God, they joined hands. They joined hands. It was the Jews, beloved, who falsely accused him and delivered him to Pilate. And it was the Romans, the Gentiles, who consented, beloved, and drove the spikes into his hands and his feet. And so began, beloved, an anti-God, anti-Christ system based on greed, based on lust for power and wickedness and evil. The world joined hands against God the Father and his Son. A world system, beloved, that promotes all the vices of the devil. That unashamedly, beloved, bows to the God of this world and all his causes. Thank God in his mercy and grace. As the world joined together against Christ to crucify him, that cried, the Lord, beloved, after his resurrection, raised up the church to battle against that world system, to be, beloved, a moral compass for the world. But then, as the years passed, the church married the world in what we call now the Dark Ages. And God, beloved, sent the Reformation. And the church got back on track, preaching the word and saving the lost and being the salt of the earth. And then God did a wonderful thing. God, beloved, founded a nation. A nation founded on His word, America. America. And America prospered, beloved, and became a world leader. I mean a nation, beloved, blessed of God. A moral Christian nation. A nation, beloved, that truly was one nation under God. But now America has left her God and gone to other gods. And the church has grown weak and ineffective. So now, beloved, this world system, the world, that anti-God, anti-Christ system, rises to the top again. Now maybe you doubt what I'm saying. But then explain this. Explain the open rise of globalism. Explain it. Folks, globalism is nothing new. Listen, it's as old as the Tower of Babel. That was when it first started. See, God told the people after the flood to spread out over the earth and replenish the earth. But Nimrod, beloved, got it in his heart to go to the plain of Shinar and to gather people around him and to begin to build a city. The city of Babylon. They tried, beloved, they rebelled against God, disobeyed God, and they tried to build a tower that would reach to heaven. This was the first attempt at a one world government. First attempt. But God confused their languages, and they had to spread over the earth. Others tried. Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the Medo-Persian Empire, Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire. Hitler tried in World War II to conquer the world. And what we see today, the globalists, folks, they have been plotting a one world government for centuries. For centuries. They've used societies, secret societies, such as the Illuminati, such as the Bilderbergers, such as, beloved, the Trilateral Commission and others. And the only difference in it is that now, beloved, they are out in the open. Out in the open. They call themselves progressives. Progressives. Why do you think the European Union has a symbol of the Tower of Babel as their symbol? Wonder why. And they have a statue adorning their headquarters, beloved, of a woman riding the beast. Straight from the book of Revelation. Straight from the book of Revelation. Why do you think socialism is taking off in America? In America. America, beloved, has to come down if globalism is going to succeed. And socialism will do it. Will do it. Why do you think there's such animosity, beloved, against the church and the Bible? I mean worldwide. Worldwide. When Antifa was burning religious books, what were they burning? Not the Quran. The Bible. The Bible. The Bible.
Why do you think there's a preachers in California this morning, one especially, that just may be arrested because he's standing in the pulpit preaching the Word of God? Why do you think homosexuality has been legalized in our government by our Supreme Court? You remember what I told y'all before that happened? I said, once it happens, watch out. It's going to be pedophilia next. Guess what? For 4 years now, advocates more and more and more are coming out in favor of pedophilia. Of children. Of children. Advocates for pedophilia, beloved, are everywhere. 27 states, beloved, have adopted a curriculum of sex education that promotes sex texting among small children. Small children. Netflix. Flicks. Whatever you call it, has come out with a film. How many of you heard of it? Cuties is the name of it. Not cooties, cuties. Beloved, this film shows scantily dressed 11-year-old girls dancing provocatively. Provocatively. Now, I have not seen it. I'm not going to see it, but I've seen some little clips from it. And I saw these children lying on the floor. And I don't know another way to put it. And I don't want to offend anyone, but beloved, they were actually humping the floor. The floor. Close-ups of their private parts. It's a pedophile's dream. And here's the thing. A lot of major media outlets like the New Yorker magazine have come out applauding this. Applauding it. You say, preacher, next Netflix has got nothing to do with the government. It's a system, folks. It's an interconnected system. Combining leaders in government, in the news media, in sports, in education, in entertainment, in science, in academia, in finance, in every field, including religion, is a system. It's a system. Why do you think churches are ordered to close while abortion clinics and pot houses are open? And I could go on and on and on in this, but it's all aimed at opposing Christ and God's word and getting the world to bow to Satan. Bow to Satan. Does it depress you to see what's happening? Does it feel, beloved, does it fill you with fear for your children at what you see, beloved, going around in this world system today? Then listen to me. Remember the second part. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Because he has overcome it, beloved, so shall we who follow him. So shall we. When Jesus was crucified, the world system thought they had won, just like a lot of people think the world system is winning right now. But guess what? They hadn't won. Oh, listen, the Jewish leaders went to Pilate and they said,
put a guard on the tomb. He said he would rise from the dead. Pilate said, see you to it. And they did their best. They put guards, beloved, before the tomb. They sealed that tomb with a stone and with the seal of Rome. And it was the death penalty to break that seal, beloved. Folks, they could have put the whole Roman army before a guard in that tomb. It wouldn't have stopped what happened that third day, because the third day, Jesus overcame the world. The stone was rolled away, and the guards, beloved, fled in fear, and he rose from the dead. Whoa! Oh, listen. He overcame the world, that world system. And as he overcame and began a church of righteousness, beloved, we who believe in him, in his same power, will overcome this world. This world system. Up ahead, not very far, Jesus is returning. Amen. Antichrist, beloved, will lead a worldwide coalition against the Lord. That world system will join together to fight against Christ. And folks, Jesus, you read it, will destroy them all. And he'll set up his kingdom of righteousness on this earth. And he will reign. And guess what? We will reign with him. Woo! Be of good cheer. What you're seeing happen to this world, beloved, will soon end. Will soon end. Because Christ has overcome. Has overcome. What is the world? The world is death. It's death. When Adam and Eve sinned, death entered the world and became an integral part of it. Death brings sorrow. Death is fearful. Death, beloved, makes us worry. Death is suffering and pain and hurt and separation. Oh, but there on that cross, Jesus took death on. And you know what? Death couldn't take him. Death couldn't take him. But no, listen, he willingly gave up the spirit. I commend my spirit into thy hands, he told the Father. And to prove it, 3 days later, he that was dead rose again, conquering death and hell and the grave. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said this in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Listen, you may lay this body down one day for a little while, but you, Christian, will never, never, never die. You will never die. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Whoa! Amen. And when the Lord returns, beloved, for his church, that body will be resurrected, a glorified body. Why do you fret, Christian? Why do you worry? Why do you not rejoice and be glad? Oh, preacher, because in this world I have tribulation. I have affliction. I have suffering. I have sorrow. Don't forget the second part of the verse. Don't forget.
be of good cheer. For Jesus has overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Because all you're facing, beloved, all you're enduring, all you're suffering through, Jesus has overcome. And that means you, believer, you will overcome. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here today and you don't know Him as Lord and Savior of your life, I invite you. Come to Him. Come to Him now and let Him give you victory. Victory over the world, over Satan, over the world system, over death. Give Him your victory over all that afflicts you. If you are saved today, oh, Christian, lift up your head. Don't be sad. Don't be discouraged. Listen to Jesus. Yes, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for He has overcome the world. You've got the victory, Christian. Jesus has won it for you. And oh, how glad and how of good cheer we all ought to be. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Jesus, mighty to save, to deliver, to overcome. God, we praise You and give You the glory. God, have Thy way now in every heart. If there be one here that's lost, oh my God, convict and touch and save that soul today. And may we as Christians, Lord, throw aside the clothes of worry and fear, the clothes of fret and discouragement. And God, may we remember the second. Be of good cheer, for You have overcome the world. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we pray. I ask You to stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Won't You come? Won't You come? Won't You come? Won't You come? Come with the step of victory. Come with a smile on your face and a song in your heart. He has overcome. He has overcome. He has overcome. Won't you come? He has overcome. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Maybe you've got lost loved ones you want to pray for. Maybe you're here and you just want to thank Him and praise Him for the victory He's given to you. Won't you come? May be seated, heads bowed and eyes closed. How we thank God for the moving of His Holy Spirit. These who have come